This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. When someone says they are really living, it is usually a figure of speech, meaning a happy, fun-filled life of pleasure, ease, and comfort in a setting of luxury or paradise, like in a tropical island holiday resort. On the broadcast today, I will be telling you of the ultimate getaway vacation, an unending holiday from the mundane lives we live. But first, a brief word with my Father. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact. Again, that website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. Search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. To begin our program today, let me lay the foundation for my ultimate holiday with some quotations from the Bible. When Jesus Christ was hanging on that cruel Roman execution cross to pay the debt of sin for all who would ever believe in him, we have this portion of the story of Jesus and the two criminals being hung on either side of Jesus. This is from Luke 23. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has not done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." In 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Apostle Paul said, "So I say that we have courage. We really want to be away from this body and to be at home with the Lord." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul said this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." So encourage each other with these words. Now, these Bible verses have one thing in common. They all refer to the future life of true Christians. True, genuine believers in Jesus Christ. People who have placed their entire life into the hands of Jesus and under the control of Jesus. Such Christians know their future, not just here on earth. That is such a short time. No, I mean their real future, where they will be really living in the glorious light and presence of God Almighty and enjoying continued service in giving glory to God forever and ever. Now, to those of you who are not Christians, this sounds like unending servitude, like slavery. You might think that paradise is all about you and your pleasure and only what you want. True Christians know that ultimate enduring joy is found in serving the only one who deserves praise and honor. 1 Peter 1:8 gives us this insight. "You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." John 6:40 says, "For it is the will of my Father that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus later reveals more of this eternal future paradise to his disciples just before Jesus was to unjustly hang on the cross. Jesus told his disciples this in John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in the home of my Father. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we do not know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still do not know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him, because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Christians have their sins forgiven because of the substitutionary death of Jesus to pay for their sins. But the fact that Christians will be brought back to life after earthly death is made possible by the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from his stony tomb, and he was witnessed by many people to be alive after dying on the cross. Then he ascended into heaven, never to die again. This resurrection is what gives new life to Christian believers and hope of a joy-filled eternity worshiping God forever. In the Bible book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul gives a clear explanation of the critical role of the resurrection. "I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed." But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless, and we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have all said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under the authority of God, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. Well, this, friends, is the ultimate paradise. A tropical island holiday is nothing compared to the joy of living in the presence of God. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal, saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from John 11:25 from the Amplified Bible. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies."